This is the Detroit Sports Podcast Network.
The biggest icon in podcasting.
Welcome in, everyone, to this week's edition of the Doc and Jock Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Adam the Jock Strozinski. This is your WrestleMania Go Home podcast, and we've got a ton to break down. We've got two nights of WrestleMania. CM Punk had a lot to say. AEW's doing some things for the very first time. Ronda Rousey flaming a WWE superstar, which may cause him to get fired. And a big-time free agent is rumored to be at WrestleMania. We're going to take a look at all of that, break it all down, give our predictions for WrestleMania, and help me do it all. He's the one. He's the only. He's about six old-fashioneds deep right now. He is the Doc, John Macaroon. What's up, cuz?
The biggest WrestleMania of all time, and we're going to break it all down. Triple H wants it to be a moment where everybody sits down and goes, holy shit, I'm excited, man. Saturday's card is going to be stacked. Sunday, everybody is waiting simply for Cody Rhodes to finish his story. What could happen? Everybody in the wrestling community is talking about what the hell CM Punk said to Ariel Helwani. It was a crazy-ass week of wrestling. It's here, cuz. It's WrestleMania. I'm amped for it. I'm excited. And I'm excited also to talk about AEW on the ropes taking a beating in terms of public opinion and how they're going to rebound. I think potentially has a chance. This is a moment for them. This is a sentinel moment in the history of their company because they're on the ropes and WWE is on full blast attacking them in every outlet that they can. Triple H on Pat McAfee, CM Punk on Ariel Helwani, Brandi Rhodes talking about how the company changed directions. Cause it's WrestleMania. I'm excited. This is the weekend we've all been waiting for. Probably the most excited I've been since WrestleMania 39 last year.
Yeah, it's a huge weekend. And look, you've kind of, I didn't have this on our rundown, but I wanted to talk about this. I want to talk about AEW really quickly before we jump into all of the WWE stuff. Because like you said, AEW had a really bad week. Had a really, really bad week. And we're going to get into a lot of the stuff that CM Punk said during the news and notes. We're going to get into a first for AEW when we get into the news and notes as well. But AEW this week really sending Edge out there on Dynamite on Wednesday to cut a 7-8 minute promo, kind of acting as the shield to deflect a lot of the negative things that are being said about AEW. To me, I don't feel like it was necessary. I don't think it was necessary. I feel like it was some mental midget type of shit from Tony Khan. Just go about your business. Run your wrestling program the way you want to run your wrestling program. Don't necessarily care about all the outside noise. Don't try to confront everybody on Twitter. Don't try to send a former WWE employee, send a guy out there who mispronounces Will Ospreay's name. Don't send him out there to cut an 8-minute promo where he's basically telling the fans, hey, guys, it's okay. Everybody just root for wrestling. Root for wrestling. Rooting for wrestling is good. AEW is good. WWE is good. Just root for wrestling. To me, it really seemed like AEW almost waving a white flag, trying to deflect a lot of the negativity that's been going on surrounding them. And really, it seems like it is very small brand, small potatoes. And on top of it, the worst part about all of it, Edge goes out there to cut his promo and he gets a ton of audio feedback from his microphone showing just how poor sometimes the production is with AEW. What did you make of Edge's opening promo on Dynamite? And what do you make of the rough week that AEW has had?
Complete disarray for AEW. And then you follow up the shit that was said from CM Punk by releasing 10 superstars. And then you have those superstars kind of report that, hey, the travel situation was a chaos. And some of the Tony Khan goes on a media blitz and says that certain wrestlers didn't show up for work. And then those wrestlers said, wait a minute, how could we show up for work when the communication with the travel department was complete chaos? They released the texts. And to me, look, I get it. You have to respond. I mean, CM Punk went nuclear. So you have to respond. But you're right. It shouldn't have been Edge. Edge is the representation of WWE. What does that send to the... Look at it from this perspective. Edge had his career made in the WWE. Most people look at it like Edge is coming to collect a paycheck and get one last run in AEW. You see what I'm saying? So you don't use him to deliver the speech at all. If Tony Khan wanted to address it, you needed to have the Young Bucks address it, or you needed to have Tony Khan stand in the ring and say, welcome to AEW, we know why you're watching, and then put on one of the best shows that you've ever put on. You don't need to address it. And it's clear, Edge didn't say, Adam Copeland didn't say anything new. It's simple. WWE is the big time. They're the best. AEW provides a little bit less of a rigorous schedule, but more of an opportunity to handle business. And it's just two different brands. I think AEW probably should have just put on one of the, you know, really showcase the wrestling, which is what they're all about. But in the end, what's crazy is it wasn't really what CM Punk did that really upset a lot of people was basically dissing Tony Khan. So why are you sending Edge out there to deliver that promo? Tony Khan should just sat there and said, look, I know you're hearing a lot about our company. We're doing a lot of big things. Welcome to Dynamite. And the first person you put out there is Ospreay and Hobbs, and you have a teardown match and you just keep it going. But I understand that the symbolic nature of having Adam Copeland deliver that really kind of sends the message to WWE, hey, we got one of your guys. But I thought that the message that Tony Khan delivered online, I don't know if it's true or not, but there was a report that said that he's interested in being really aggressive in free agency. That's another way to handle it. You know what, Tony? If you're pissed and CM Punk and Cody and Triple H keep riling you up and they keep pissing you off, you know what you say? You keep quiet. When Becky Lynch's contract comes up, you sign Becky Lynch. When Drew McIntyre's contract comes up, you sign Drew McIntyre. You just start pinching from WWE little by little, and that's the way in which you combat it and tell better stories. I just think that the war of the words to me, you know, it's kind of like the Cowboys fucking around with the Eagles. They're both going to chirp. That we know that certain teams are going to have edges over certain times. They're two different teams, two different wrestling companies, and they do different things. So for AEW, they just need to tell better stories, kind of get back on track in terms of ratings, and do some things to make a splash. Promos back and forth, like, you're right. It's but because if you're Tony Khan, you can't look like a bitch and just keep taking it over and over when a major star that was at AEW is talking shit about you. He's going to respond. There's no way. I don't think that that's something that I think the locker room would not respect you if you didn't say something.
But I think the locker room would respect you more if you didn't say anything. If you handled this in a press conference setting, right, where he had a press conference the following, 2 days after, you can handle it there. You can defend yourself there if you feel like you need to defend yourself. You are a billionaire's son,
right,
by proxy, you are a billionaire. Why are you messing around with this small mind bullshit? Why are you wasting your time, wasting your energy? You're a freaking billionaire. This shouldn't even be on your radar. This should be so beneath you that somebody says, hey, Tony, did you hear about this? And you're like, hear about what? And then you're like, CM Punk dissed you. And you're like, oh, the guy that I hired and fired? He can go fuck off. Like, there's no reason for this to even be addressed by you. To me, honestly, Tony Khan – and we've talked about this a couple of times with some of the BS that he does on Twitter. Like, he went after Eric Bischoff, and Eric Bischoff basically put him in his place. When you do these things, you look like a spoiled brat. You look like a child. You are a billionaire. Start acting like a businessman. Conduct yourself and hold yourself accountable as a businessman. And essentially, we're going to get into what CM Punk said. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. Basically, CM Punk said that you are a clown. You do not run yourself and you do not run your business like an actual business. You want to be friends with the boys. You are not one of the boys. You can't be one of the boys. Do not become friends with the talent. You have to hold yourself above all of that. And this is what Tony Khan has done since the beginning of all of this. The fact that you've got the Young Bucks as EVPs, the fact that you've got Kenny Omega as an EVP, the fact that you had Cody Rhodes as an EVP, that's a bit of a problem. That is a bit of a problem because now what you've done is you've given the boys, some of the boys, you've given them leverage in that locker room. You've given them an additional power. So not everybody is on the same playing field. There should basically be one door that everybody has to talk to and one door that everybody has to go through and answer to. And that is your door. Instead, you've set it up to where now the Young Bucks have a door. Kenny Omega has a door. Cody had a door. You have set up such a horrible organizational management at your place of business. Like you cannot do this. You cannot conduct yourself like you are one of the boys. You are not one of the boys. You are not a wrestler. You cannot be friends with the wrestlers. You have to be the boss. I get it's a tough line to hoe, right? Because you want to make sure everybody's happy. You want to do everything and appease everybody. It's not going to always be the case. You have to be able to be the authority figure in that locker room. We watched the behind the scenes or the dark history of wrestling, whatever, on Vice. We watched those programs. You see how wrestlers act and behave. Male wrestlers are essentially 15-year-old boys running around in 35-year-old bodies with the ability to do what 35-year-olds do. You have to be the parent in this situation. You have to be there to set them straight. And Tony Khan does not do that. He does not run his business like that. And look, if it works, it works. We have now seen over the course of 2 and 3 years the erosion of AEW. And it's coming from the inside out. It's not like it's from the outside in. This is from the inside out. This is eroding and things are getting worn away from the inside. And it's the talent that is getting upset. And it's the talent that is taking things into their own hands and conducting themselves like they should not be. So this is a huge issue, and it all falls at the feet of Tony Khan. So I do want to get into the stuff that CM Punk said. I do want to save that for later for the program. I just think that AEW at this moment in time is at a major crossroads where it needs to figure out how it wants to conduct itself and what it wants to be seen as. Do you want to be seen as a place where basically the inmates run the asylum? Sure, go ahead. I don't think that company is going to last another 5 years if that's the case. Ooh. If you want to be a big boy and you want to play like the big boys play, you want to be like WWE, there is a lot of good things that WWE does. And from a management and from an organizational standpoint, they have checks and balances. You need to keep those checks and balances. And you talked about it with the boys being released, Dalton Castle's boys, they released text messages showing how bad the travel was. You need to get your people who are in charge. You need to worry about them. You need to delegate. I think he takes too much on. He's trying to write TV for two different brands, multiple shows every single week, and then he's trying to put the pay-per-views together. The storylines suck. I'm a huge fan of AEW. I at this moment in time, if you were like, Jock, I don't want to watch AEW anymore. I don't want to talk about it. I'd be like, cool. Freeze up a Wednesday because the storylines are absolute garbage. The wrestling is very good, but the storylines are garbage. And we've talked about it before. You have to have both. You got to have both. You need really good wrestling and you need good storylines. Storylines are trash because he spreads himself too thin. He tries to wear too many hats and do too many things. That's why you hire people. That's why you delegate things. You can have final say over creative, but you don't need to be the lead dog in creative. Hire somebody else to do that. There's a ton of people out there who want that job and who have experience doing it. There are people that worked with you that you fired. So to me, it's just AEW is digging a hole for themselves, and it's become a major issue. That's kind of what I wanted to say about AEW. I got all worked up. I'm sorry. Look, let's get into WWE. Let's get into better stuff, greener pastures over here. It was announced on Monday Night Raw, I believe. Roman Reigns is announcing Paul Heyman or inducting Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame. This shocked me. I didn't think this was going to be the case. I was actually really, really surprised that Roman Reigns is going to be the guy inducting Paul Heyman. Should Roman Reigns have been the guy that was handpicked by Paul Heyman to induct him? Because I don't think so. I think when you look at Paul Heyman's history, you look at Paul Heyman as a wrestling entity, ECW is synonymous with Paul Heyman. There are so many talented people that came from ECW. There are so many talented individuals that Paul Heyman has helped create and help put on the stage and help to build their careers. I mean, CM Punk's the guy who probably could have inducted Paul Heyman. Roman Reigns, obviously, they work together now. There's this long storyline, great storyline. We've got this going on. But in the end, I don't think it should have been Roman Reigns. I think it could have been a guy like Tommy Dreamer. I think if Taz didn't work for AEW, it could have been Taz. I think, honestly, for me, it should have been Bully Ray. Bully Ray should have been the guy to induct Paul Heyman. Bully Ray has great stories and great anecdotes about Paul Heyman, and there's a closeness and a bond there. And Bully Ray was one of the guys who was the one of the last men standing next to Paul Heyman when the ship was going down at ECW, and Paul Heyman basically burned everybody. Bully Ray was right there with him. So in my estimation, I thought it should have been Bully Ray. I was really surprised that Roman Reigns is inducting Paul Heyman. Well, what are your thoughts on Roman basically inducting one of the greatest wrestling minds of our generation?
It sucks that Brock Lesnar is persona non grata at WWE, because that would have been a nice choice as well. But you look at it and you say, well, would you recognize ECW? You're in Philadelphia, so the marriage is absolutely perfect to have somebody from ECW represent Paul Heyman. And here's the thing, though. Paul Heyman also worked in WCW, Paul E. Dangerously. So you look at it and
WCW, and WWE owns.
Yeah, so it's I agree with you 100% that I would have preferred somebody else. But if it's not going to be a former wrestler, then the biggest star in the company is Roman Reigns. And I guess if you're playing up the bloodline and you want to keep Roman on television, then that's the case. But you're absolutely right. It feels like a missed opportunity to have an ECW reunion, like a little reunion where you have all of them, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, Bully Ray, those that really represent everything that ECW was about. I think most people, I would say the marks probably identify Paul Heyman with ECW, but I think the larger crowd would understand, you know, Roman Reigns. So I understand exactly where you're coming from. It's just when it was announced, all I can say is I was disappointed, probably like you were. I was like, ah, oh, it's Roman. Ah, it feels like the fourth best choice.
Yeah, exactly. I think fourth best choice is probably the best way to put it. It's like I could go through and make a list of a bunch of different people and Roman Reigns would be at the back end of that list. So it was a little bit deflating. We're recording this before the speech is handed out, so hopefully it is great. Look, WrestleMania, again, split into 2 days. This is going to be the thing going forward. WrestleMania Day 1 taking place on Saturday, WrestleMania Day 2 taking place on Sunday. When you look at this card, is there a day that you prefer over the other? If there was one day where you could only watch one day of WrestleMania, which one day would you watch and why?
Ooh, that's tough, because most people are going to say that WrestleMania this year is about Cody finishing his story, and many people mm-hmm. are excited for Cody up against Roman. But when you just look at the card, oh my God, you and I both said Saturday is legit stacked. It's top yes. to bottom, I think, 7 matches on Saturday that have the opportunity, all of them, to steal the show. So to me, if you can't watch all of it, then you got to check out Saturday. I think highlighted by the tag team match, which is going to mean so much for the Sunday. Man, I think everybody's excited to see The Rock come back, do his thing for the first time in a long time. What's that mean for Cody Rhodes? Seth Rollins, the intrigue regarding, is he going to be loyal to Cody Rhodes? And it's just, if you look at Saturday's card, because you said it, it's stacked. It's nice. It's going to be one in which it's just, man, all the matches really on both days, but collectively, Saturday stands out as compared to Sunday top to bottom.
Yeah, I agree with you. If I had to pick one day to watch, it would definitely be Saturday. Saturday's card is just absolutely bonkers. And look, let's kind of start right there with day one. Start with Saturday. Rhea Ripley taking on Becky Lynch for the Women's WWE Championship. Who do you think wins this match? Real quick, before we get into that, I just want to highlight some scoring. We're going to change it up a little bit this year, okay? So you'll get a point if you win day one. You'll get another point if you win day two. If you end up getting if you get more correct from a combo of both days, so there's 13 matches, so say you get 12 matches right and I get 11 matches right, you'll get an extra point. So you can walk away from WrestleMania with 3 points and are calling the card. We basically have started from scratch. Every year we start over at WrestleMania, kind of sets our year up. It's kind of our reset button. So you can get 3 points this year for winning WrestleMania. You've got day one, you've got day two, and then collectively between both nights, if you get more matches picked correct than the other person, you'll get a bonus point. Back to Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, Women's WWE Championship. Who do you think wins this match?
Yeah, I was thinking about this before we recorded. When I said, oh man, these predictions are going to be huge. It's WrestleMania. I'm watching SmackDown as I'm talking to you right now. And guess who's smack dab right in the middle of the KO show? It's the man in the green shirt. So you know it's a big deal. It's Fan Man. He's back. He is there. He's going to be there right front and center. I don't know if the rumors are true that he won some kind of weird lawsuit, but Fan Man is there staring straight at me right now as KO is talking to Randy Orton. And I was thinking about this card, and oh my God. So I was thinking, okay, what's my strategy going to be? Am I going to go by all the dirt sheets and the previews or what I want or what I think is going to happen? So I said to myself, I'm just going to stick to the guns here, and I'm going to stick with what I think is best for business. And if it's not, so be it. I have a long year, and I'm just going to go with it. To me, best for business on this card, Rhea Ripley is the man. She's the real deal. She's the best around. She's got the look. There's no way, shape, or form that Becky Lynch tops her. Now, could I see Becky holding the title? Of course. And probably that might indeed be the favorite going into it. But Rhea Ripley's the bomb. I think that she carries herself like a star. I think the bigger matches moving forward with Jade, Bianca, others that could battle her, even if they're on different shows, I think that you got to have Rhea Ripley be the superstar. You got to have her be the queen. She's the best. And to me, if you put it on Becky, it's a setback.
Yeah, and look, I agree with you 100%. I think that Rhea Ripley has had a very good run as women's WWE champion. I don't think she's had a match, though, that we can call her signature match. Her match where she's really implanted herself in the hierarchy of WWE, especially in that women's locker room. It really feels like she's been holding this title for a while, and she's kind of holding it by default because there's really nobody else to challenge her. I feel like if she gets this win, this is the signature win. This is the win that goes at the very, very top of her resume, and this cements her in her position as the women's WWE champion. So I think Rhea Ripley gets the win. Again, best for business. I think it's great for storytelling. I think this helps plant Rhea firmly at the very, very top of the pecking order in that women's division. Next, we've got that tag team championship ladder match. You've got Grayson Waller and Austin Theory versus The New Day versus New Catch Republic versus R-Truth and The Miz versus DIY versus Judgment Day. Now, the stipulation with all of this are both sets of belts are going to be hung from rings atop, and you're going to have to climb a ladder and pull both sets of titles down. I wanted to propose this to you, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, because as they're kind of laying out the rules for this match, in my head I thought, huh, I wonder if this is where we split these titles. I wonder if we end up getting two winners, and this is where the titles get split, where you'll have one red brand of tag team championships, and you'll have one blue brand of tag team championships. What do you think the possibilities of that are?
I wouldn't like that at all. I just think that winner take all is great. I mean, to me, it's really the match that has the capability of really stealing the show. You have really some great tag teams, and everybody's looking forward to the everyone sees the potential for chaos cause in this match. Who could there be a surprise entrant into this matchup? But I would not do that. I just think that you got to have a clear-cut winner. You need to have the visual of one team standing on the ladder, getting the belts, holding it up. Because you remember the ladder matches where a lot of the times it was Edge and Christian holding the belts up, and it just had that feel of, okay, we're the best tag team. And this is kind of, it has the feel of like, okay, this is the referendum of who's the best tag team right now in WWE.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it visually it has that. I think WWE has painted themselves in a bit of a corner, though, where they've got to – I think they want to split these belts, but they don't know how to do it. And I think this is the opportunity that they could have to do that if they choose to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Look, I think this, like you said, has the chance to be a show stealer. This has the chance to give you 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes of just incredible action. And it could be absolutely fantastic. Grayson Waller, Austin Theory, very young tag team. New Day, been there, done that. New Catch Republic, they're giving Pete Dunne a little bit of a push here. It's nice to see. R-Truth and The Miz, I don't think have ever been hotter. DIY, they're kind of there. To me, they kind of feel like they are a mid-card tag team at this moment in time. Feels like they could do so much more, but they're just kind of in that mid-card. And then you've got the Judgment Day. And this could be one of the things that helps kind of pull the Judgment Day apart. It seems like they're building these storylines where they're adding little things in each and every week where the Judgment Day may start to separate or pull apart. One of those matches will be the next match with Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. So we'll talk about that here shortly. But I think in the end, I want R-Truth and The Miz to win the belts because I think they have been the most entertaining, and I think they are absolutely fantastic. I don't care if they win them for a day and they end up losing them on Monday. It's fine for me. I just want R-Truth and Miz to win these belts. I think it'll be a really interesting story. And look, again, I think they are doing some fantastic work. R-Truth has been absolutely incredible, and this, to me, feels like it's kind of reinvigorated The Miz a little bit. Who do you have winning this match?
Yeah, I feel like I have no confidence in who's gonna in my pick is who's gonna win. To me, I think
there's six different teams, so it's really hard. Just throw a dart at a board.
Yeah, I think best for business is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. They're the heels. They're the guys that I think would benefit the most from having it. Also, the New Day, I think that also could get the pop. But in the end, the Judgment Day, I feel like, is poised to leave Wrestle. I feel like it's the Judgment Day's WrestleMania. So I don't think there's going to be a new tag team champion. I think the Judgment Day wins it. It's going to be hellacious. But in the end, the Judgment Day, when you see that tag team match, I just think that they're the best of the bunch. And it'll be a lot of false finishes, a lot of teases. But if it's not the Judgment Day, I'm picking the Judgment Day. I think the best team then, the B option should be Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. If I was booking it, I'd give it to the heels because those guys are spectacular. And I think on the microphone, I think that those guys benefit the most from having it. And I'm so close to switching my pick, but I know that you picked the different team with R-Truth and The Miz. So I think that if we're both wrong, I can get away with it. But I think the Judgment Day has a strong chance to really, really showcase themselves and leave WrestleMania with the belts.
So just so you know, Judgment Day was my initial thought with all of this, but kind of working through it all, I feel like R-Truth has done some of his best work, and I think it would be great to see him win it. But Judgment Day was my first pick, so I don't think you're too far off there. We've got Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee taking on Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Who do you think wins this match? Do the heels or do the faces?
It sucks because we don't know the exact timing of when these matches are going to go on. Certain fate, you got to get some pops. So I think that you've been telling the story of Rey against his son, and Dominic is just a guy that you love to root against. So the money situation in this match will be the entrance when the Philadelphia crowd just goes apeshit against Dominic. And I see Rey Mysterio winning this. And real fast, they got a great segment going on now on SmackDown, and they've already shown the set. It's beautiful, because if your favorite color is green, like mine is, having gone to Michigan State, seeing Logan Paul standing at the top there where KO was doing his show, and now they're actually going over to the stadium. Going to now, they're going to the site of WrestleMania because the SmackDown set is like literally a golf cart drive away. It's great. There's going to be chaos on SmackDown, so it's great all the way around. And you're seeing my team, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, are chasing behind. So there's going to be some chaos, but the set is beautiful. It's green. I'm not sure I like the XL on the set, but the green set is so luscious. Big ramp. Oh, I can't wait for this card, cuz. I can't wait. I'm enjoying talking about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great card, great WrestleMania. I've got Rey and Dominic winning, or I got Rey and Dragon Lee winning this as well. So I think you give it to the faces. Like you said, you need some pops. You've been telling a great story with Rey and his comeback. Everybody loves to hate on Dominic Mysterio. To me, it just makes sense for Rey Mysterio to get the win here. Next, we've got Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. I've got Jey winning this. Look, main event Jey is here to play. I think he beats the living crap out of Jimmy. And maybe in the very, very end, they hug it out. Jey kisses Jimmy on the forehead and they go their separate ways. I've got Jey Uso winning this.
I can't wait to see this. It has the feel of a match that could legitimately go back and forth. A lot of stories could be told. So this match was set up in a way that really you could appreciate with two brothers, with Jimmy costing Jey so many opportunities. Jey needs to have his opportunity. And I think that seeing Jey get the pop at WrestleMania, when his entrance, oh my God, the crowd's going to, you know, do the way.
He's got the best entrance, dude. Yes. It is unreal when the crowd just starts bobbing with him.
No doubt about it. And Jey Uso is going to be a figure that I think coming out of WrestleMania has a chance to take the momentum that he gains from the performance into a great 2024.
All right, next we've got the superpower team of Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi taking on Damage Control. I've got Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. Look, Jade, this is going to be her first, I guess, real match. Obviously not a singles match, but I don't know what you do with her Royal Rumble entrance. Those are kind of gimmick matches. This is a tag team match. This is what I'm considering more of a realistic match. I've got Jade winning this. It's her debut. So Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. I think Jade even gets the pin or the submission.
No doubt. Mission number one is make Jade look like a superstar. There's no doubt about it. She is somebody that needs to be highlighted. She needs to come off as a superstar. She's got to hit her spots. So you absolutely, no doubt, can stamp it that tag team has the potential to do some damage and really make it a dominant performance. So Jade Cargill, Bianca, and Naomi are going to get their moment.
All right, next we've got the Intercontinental Championship. We've got Gunther versus Sami Zayn. They've done a really good job of building Sami Zayn, showing how he's had a little bit of lack of confidence, working with Chad Gable, getting him built back up. Almost a Rocky-like motif this past week on Raw. I liked it. I thought it was good. Thought it was well played. Who do you have winning this? Is Sami Zayn the guy to finally dethrone Gunther?
This, because I was thinking about it. I have it circled. This, you can legitimately make arguments for both. And the reason you would make the argument for Sami is you reward him for kicking off the bloodline, for taking it to the next level. You would think that, okay, storyline-wise, okay, is it time for Gunther to take the next step into championship realm, into the next step? Well, is Sami Zayn big enough? So this is where I'm conflicted. I'm torn, because on the other side, Gunther could have another 6 months in him as the Intercontinental Champion. It doesn't feel like Sami's run as of late has, like, it feels like this match should have took place at the Rumble or like 6 months ago, where Sami was a little bit hotter. So it's tough, but I think that for me, best for business is Gunther's already had his run. You got to have some title changes. You got to have some freshness. I think that if there is a guy that is worthy across from him to win the title, to have a moment in a big event, it's Sami Zayn. He looks like the Intercontinental Champion. He looks like a guy that's been rewarded by having good matches, having good content, by being the team player. Gunther needs to take the next step into main event status, and he's had his run. You're not going to really need to do any more with him. So to me, I'm picking Sami Zayn to win the Intercontinental Championship, only because best for business is when the dust settles regarding what we're going to talk about in the main event stuff, the guy first or second that needs to challenge the new champion, it's got to be Gunther.
It's funny, man. It's like you live in my brain sometimes. I'm going Sami Zayn as well, and it's for all the reasons you just kind of laid out. I think Sami Zayn can do a good job carrying that title. That's number one. Number two, Gunther has already surpassed the record that they wanted him to surpass. He's the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. So check that box. It is time to get Gunther out of that mid-card championship and get him elevated. I think when you have Seth Rollins taking on Drew McIntyre, depending on how that goes, you could have Gunther be the guy to come in and dethrone Drew McIntyre, or set up a great program with a guy like Drew McIntyre, or set up a great program with a guy like Seth Rollins. And it could be absolutely fantastic. So for all those reasons, because you're trying to elevate Gunther up the card and give him another long run and build him up into that main event picture, I'm going to go with Sami Zayn getting the win here. It is time for Gunther to move on and get out of that IC belt. All right, main event time, Roman Reigns, The Rock, taking on Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. This match impacts Sunday's main event. If Roman Reigns and The Rock win, we are going with Bloodline Rules, which is basically it's a altered no DQ match. Anything can go. If Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes win, Cody Rhodes will face Roman Reigns and the entire Bloodline will be barred from ringside. Who do you have winning this match? How do you see this playing out?
You have to have the intrigue going into night two of Cody Rhodes getting screwed, whether Seth Rollins turns on him, whether there's a debut of a multiple new members of the Bloodline. I can't see Seth and Cody winning this match. It makes no sense to have Roman lose twice. It makes no sense to have The Rock come back for all this training to get defeated. I just see that if he's going to have his swan song at WrestleMania, he needs to be able to have that seed of doubt, like, wait a minute, they do so much damage that, they got to sell it in some way. Because right now, as we speak, I think there's no doubt about it that the main event prediction we're going to have for Sunday is Cody raising his hand in victory and overcoming all the obstacles. But we need obstacles. And the biggest obstacle is Bloodline Rules. And that just adds intrigue to Cody winning. But you got to find any real way to make it so that the seed of doubt is planted, like, oh, Cody got screwed. Cody's going to have to face all of this. And you got to have The Rock still maintain some level of relevancy going forward if he takes time off, if he comes back. And I don't think you need to set up Rock and Roman right now. You can set it up later on down the road. But you don't need a year buildup if you're going to have The Rock and Roman next year. So to me, it's The Rock and Roman standing tall with the crowd on Saturday just pissed off, booing, Rock just staring at, in all his glory. Man, I part of me wants to see it too because he's been getting some good pops. Potentially this could be the ending of Roman Reigns on television for a while if he does lose eventually the title. So you got to have them have the moment. I think you got to have the setup. It has to be Bloodline Rules. You got to have some chaos in the main event of WrestleMania on night two. So it's going to be Rock and Roman, baby.
You got to stack the deck against Cody, and the way you do that is with the Bloodline Rules. We've talked about Tama Tonga coming to WWE. This is a spot where he could make an impact. He could show up, and he could be the newest member of the Bloodline. So you stack the deck against Cody. This is how you do it. Roman and The Rock end up winning this match, which makes for a much more interesting night two. So night one, Rhea retains. You've got Judgment Day retaining theirs. I've got R-Truth and The Miz dethroning them. We both have Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee winning. We both have Jey Uso winning. We both have Bianca, Jade, and Naomi winning over Damage Control. We both have Sami Zayn as the new Intercontinental Champion. And we both have Roman Reigns and The Rock winning on night two, sending everybody home pissed off. Which then leads us to day two, where we kick off with Drew McIntyre versus Seth freaking Rollins for the men's world, or the men's WWE Championship. How do you see this one playing out? Because I think we might differ on this.
No, I think that you got to give Drew his moment, man. He's a badass heel. Okay. Drew McIntyre needs to be the world champion. You just seen a character that has utilized every avenue to get himself over. If the rumors are true that he hasn't signed his contract yet, man, you give it to Drew. I see him. He just looks like a champion, and I think he deserves a moment in front of fans, and I would love to see Seth go in a different direction. Maybe he battles the Bloodline. Maybe he battles a different caliber of opponent. Maybe he goes for the world title. Whatever it may be, I just think that it's time for Drew to hold the title.
Yeah, I'm going with Drew McIntyre as well. Look, I think Seth Rollins is legitimately sore, legitimately beat up. Yeah. He's gone through a lot lately, and this guy continues to hold WWE on his back. Seth Rollins wants and begs to be the face of WWE. That's why he gets so protective when a guy like Cody comes in and they have some animosity towards each other, because he feels like he has to be the protector of WWE. At a certain point, it takes its toll on your body. Seth is beat up. Seth needs a little bit of time away, just a little bit. Let Drew McIntyre take that title. Let Drew McIntyre have a fantastic run. This has been some of the best work by Drew McIntyre as of recent. So I think Drew McIntyre is your new men's WWE champion. We then have the Pride versus the Final Testament. I'll be honest with you. I'm not interested in this at all. I'm going to go with the Pride. I don't even know. I mean, we'll go with the Pride. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And real fast, just to deviate again real fast, on SmackDown, if you're Tony Khan, I would take everybody that's in this Battle Royal for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You got Tozawa, Ivar, Omos. Mm-hmm. You got the tag team of Gallows and Anderson. If you got Bronson Reed, Ricochet, you're telling me all of this caliber of talent is not on WrestleMania right now? Oh my God. I just look at this talent. I'm Tony Khan, and I'm like, oh my God, I could take these dudes in this Battle Royal and make them superstars. Yeah, I agree with you. That match is probably the least interesting match. I can't believe that match, maybe if there's a match opportunity to get cut, maybe that's the one. But I have to agree with you in regards to the result. I can't disagree with you.
All right. That brings us to LA Knight versus AJ Styles. These two got into it at the WrestleMania press conference. AJ Styles looks incredibly jacked, looks like a freaking monster. LA Knight has been doing some of the best work that we've seen from a wrestler in a long time. Who do you think wins this one, LA Knight or AJ Styles?
Man, it's tough to pick against AJ Styles, but The man has to deliver, and the man has to be LA Knight. He's kind of taken a little bit of a step back in terms of attention, and look, can you blame? It just sucks because the Bloodline, and there's just bigger stuff going on. The Rock has taken 30 minutes, so you got a character in LA Knight that hasn't shined as bright as he needs to. So he needs to get this win. He needs to have a big 2024. AJ, and you're hearing talks of maybe he's starting to think about winding it down, maybe select performances here and there, but it's bottom line, best for business is LA Knight.
Yeah, I've got LA Knight winning this as well. I think you're right. It's you have to build a guy who is already in the stratosphere, right? You need to keep adding to him and making him bigger. LA Knight is a superstar. AJ Styles, obviously, he's a legend. But I think you help establish and keep LA Knight at a spot where he is thought of incredibly high in this match by getting a victory. So I've got LA Knight winning this as well. Logan Paul defending his U.S. championship against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. I'm not sure what Logan Paul's got going on. I feel like if Logan Paul has some other activity taking place, he'll probably drop this belt, but I don't know what his schedule looks like. How do you see this one playing out? Does Logan Paul retain his championship, or do we put it on Randy Orton, or do we put it on Kevin Owens?
See, I think best for business is to put it on a different wrestler, a guy that's there full-time a little bit more. Do we give Logan Paul the moment? Ugh. I mean, it just seems too soon to give Logan. I mean, he got his moment now carrying this belt. I'm torn because who do you give it to? It's equally deserved by Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Equally. but it does kind of have a weird feeling to see Randy Orton holding the U.S. title because it always has been made to feel like the TV title. So I'm going to pick Kevin Owens. I think that this is somebody that is a workman. He's super over. He's somebody that's a leader. And I just think that he's the most deserving of having the WrestleMania moment. Randy Orton, just look, if he's coming back to get titles and to get himself, you know, in those opportunities to win these kind of matches, you would think it's more for the Intercontinental, move in that direction, or for bigger stuff. So to me, Kevin Owens walks out of WrestleMania with the U.S. title.
I'm going Randy Orton. Again, I don't know what Logan Paul's got going on. I'm not sure if he's got other things on his calendar that he has to attend to or not. I like Kevin Owens. I think Randy Orton came back for a reason. I think Randy Orton wants another championship run. I know it's the U.S. championship. It's not a bigger title. I feel like Randy Orton can help elevate that. Kevin Owens can too. I think Kevin Owens is a good pick, but I'm going to go with Randy Orton on this one. Next, we've got Bayley versus Io Sky for the Women's WWE Universal Championship. I'm going Bayley. We're going to talk about the possibility of somebody interfering in this match during the news and notes segment. I think that person could make an appearance at WrestleMania and could play a part. But as of right now, I'm going with Bayley winning this match.
Cuz, can you believe, I was shocked to hear this, her first singles match in her career at WrestleMania? Are you serious right now? I think Bayley deserves a moment. She's the character that will really pop the crowd, and you need opportunities to reward those that have really put in the work, have done a lot for the company. I think her run as a heel was okay, but what she can do moving forward with the belt, you need in the feud that she's going to probably have with each member of Damage Control. It means more if Bayley has the belt. So I agree with you. Bayley needs to be the world champion, baby.
All right, which then leads us to Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. You basically picked for us earlier. We both think Cody wins this match. So to recount, I think it's going to be a fantastic match.
No, wait.
There's also talks about getting us a brand new belt as well if Cody wins.
Yes, but I got to ask you. So
yep.
You go online. We all read the dirt sheets. We all listen to the trolls. I came across a post that I could see happening, but would be so far-fetched and would ruin, I think, WrestleMania. But eventually speaking, we are counting down the days for Damian Priest to cash in. Would you imagine any scenario in which Cody wins it, celebrates, cheering, his wife Brandy's in the ring, his mom's in the ring, the confetti comes down, and then the judgment music plays? Would you then... In my mind, I would do it, but have Cody win again. That way, you cement it where, oh my God, he just had this hellacious 45-minute match against Roman. He celebrates. How dare the dastardly Damian Priest come down? Listen, Cody can handle it. You even give him maybe 15 minutes and where you just have Damian Priest whoop the shit out of Cody, and you have just, again... I think that would probably send the world into a stratosphere where Damian Priest cashes in but fails. I could not see a scenario in which he leaves it, but someone said it. It's like, oh, the biggest shit in everybody's soup would be Cody wins it and then Damian cashes it and wins it. I can't see Triple H doing that to the fans. I can't see it. I could see the scenario of a cash-in and a loss, but... I would probably stare at the screen for a good hour if at the end of night two, the world champion unified is Damian Priest. Is it time, or should Damian just wait and maybe even cash it in against Sammy? Just cash it in for something else, because we're talking about he's got to cash it in like in a month or two. So it has the feel of Damian walking down that aisle at the end of this card.
I would lose my mind if that's what they ended up doing.
I would text you. I'd be like, what the fuck?
I would be pissed.
I'd be like, what the fuck? Well, should they do it and have him lose? Because it feels like he deserves a belt, but it also feels like it shouldn't be the world title. Oh, you know what? Maybe, you know, the scenario would be Seth wins and he cashes on Seth. I could see that as well. He doesn't have to cash in against the unified title, he could cash in against Seth. That's probably, if Damian's going to do it, he'll just fuck, please just don't fuck over Drew McIntyre. Just have, if you're going to have Drew, if you're going to have Damian Priest cash it in, you got to do it against Seth when he wins it.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, it has to be done against Seth. It can't be against Cody. If it's Drew, I wouldn't like that, but I'd like it a lot better than Cody. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. It is interesting. This has been a theory that has been percolating that Damian Priest does cash in. It seems that there's some type of connection with Andrade as well. There's a whole lot going on with Judgment Day. Like I said, it feels like they want to tear them apart. It feels like they're trying to introduce new members. Seems like Damian Priest has been on the outs for a while. Maybe Andrade pushes his way in and forces Damian Priest out. There's a lot going on with Judgment Day. They've done a really good job developing that faction and making it what it is. It'll be interesting to see if he does cash in. To quickly recount what we've got going on for night two, we both have Drew McIntyre beating Seth Rollins. We both have the Pride winning. We both have LA Knight winning. You've got Kevin Owens winning the U.S. Championship and dethroning Logan Paul, while I've got Randy Orton. We both have Bayley, and we both have Cody Rhodes. So it's going to be an interesting two nights of WWE. WrestleMania should be absolutely fantastic. Are you ready for some news and notes and to kind of jump into some stuff that CM Punk said?
Hit me with this week's professional wrestling news and notes. What made your list?
CM Punk had a lot to say, speaking on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani. Helwani and Punk covered a lot of topics, from the all-in incident with Jack Perry to rekindling his friendship with Colt Cabana. Here are a few excerpts. Regarding rekindling his friendship with Cabana, Punk said, "Probably not. He came up to me one time at a show. I was at the curtain watching the show, and he came up to me and was like, 'Can we talk so it's not weird between us?' And I said, 'I won't ever talk to you without a lawyer present.' Yeah, that feeling's still the same now. He caused all this dumb shit for no reason. I got the guy fired, and he's not been on TV forever. I applaud. I said this to Hangman. I get you for taking up for your friends. I get it. That's commendable. I do that all the time. Right or wrong, I'll stand up for my fucking friends. But to go on national television and to jeopardize a $1 million house that you haven't ever drawn before, now you're disrespecting me. This is my house. I drew that, not you. That's egos. It is what it is." Regarding the all-in situation with Jack Perry, Punk said, "Jack came back from his match. I was the next match, and I've got people with me. I'm not going to say who they are because I've got a lot of friends that work there, and I don't want them to be punished for being friends with me. I walk up and I'm like, 'Why do you insist on doing this dumb internet shit on TV?' And he's like, 'Well, if you got a problem, do something about it.' And I'm like, 'Come on, man, I'd fucking kill you. What are you doing?' I thought I was going to do the responsible thing. I didn't punch anybody. I just choked somebody a little bit. Samoa Joe was there, told me to stop. Then I quit. I turned to Tony," it's Tony Khan, "and said, 'This place is a fucking joke, man. You're a clown. I quit.' I went to my room. Joe and Jerry Lynn got me, and let's go out there and kill it. I was just too fired up, and I'm fired up now. I'm probably going to regret talking about this." It's a very interesting interview if you get a chance to take it in. It covers a lot, and this caused reverberations that AEW felt the need to deal with. Other things that AEW is feeling reverberations from: AEW finally does something that WWE is heavily criticized for. On Monday, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select reported AEW was conducting releases. Since that report, several wrestlers have been let go by the company, including The Boys, Dasha, Jose the Assistant, Jorah Joel, Anthony Henry, Gravity, Stu Grayson, Parker Brodreau, and Slim J. PW Insider confirmed that list and reported that AEW is currently evaluating their talent roster and making cuts to benefit both the company and the talent. They say the released wrestlers will become free agents immediately, meaning they will be able to sign anywhere immediately. What makes this interesting is Tony Khan has been on record of saying he would never ever release a wrestler, rather choosing to let their contracts expire and not extend the wrestler. It's a tough week for Tony Khan. And then Tony Khan kind of made it all worse, like you said, by going on a conference call and basically saying the reason he's making these cuts is to start to war chest some money to go out there and sign bigger names. So he's going to cut away the small guys, trim the fat, so to say, to go and hire some porterhouse steaks. Now, Ronda Rousey alleges some serious accusations against Drew Gulak. Appearing in an interview with News Nation, Rousey was being interviewed about the issues of sexual misconduct within WWE. Rousey would go on to say the following about the alleged incident involving Gulak. I was standing there, and this guy who was barely an acquaintance with me grabs a string of my sweatpants as I'm walking by. Like, I wasn't even looking at him. This guy grabs a string of my sweatpants, and nobody else reacts as if this is normal. He grabs it and starts going down the hall, and I'm just like, what the fuck was that? Like, why are you grabbing the string of my sweatpants? If my husband was standing here next to me, would you feel comfortable walking up to me and grabbing the string of my sweatpants? But nobody around me acted as if it was abnormal. All the guys around me were just like, it's part of the day. And I'm like, if this guy is coming up to me and doing this kind of stuff to me when there's other people around, what's happening to these other girls when it's not in the hallway or something like that? So that really put me on edge to, like, not only is this behavior prevalent, but it's so prevalent that people don't even realize it's a problem anymore. Drew Gulak, that's who it is. That's who it was. I went and confronted him later, and I was like, if I ever hear about you putting your hands on any other woman like this or doing anything like this to me ever again, we're going to have a problem. And he was like, no, I'm glad you said something to me. He just really, like, backpedaled and everything like that. But it just really put a sour taste in my mouth about the culture there and what's considered acceptable and how to touch and treat women in the hallway and anywhere. Responding to the claim from Rousey, Gulak tweeted, backstage at a WWE event in 2022, I saw Ronda talking with a group in the hallway. I stopped by to say hi and shake all their hands, and in an attempt to shake her hands, I accidentally touched her drawstring. Complete accident, and one that I had apologized to her for the mishap. Brian Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Radio reported that some people in WWE expected Gulak to be gone from the company after the accusation. Alvarez said, it was Tuesday when the story came out, and there were people there that thought, man, Drew Gulak's probably going to be gone tomorrow. At this time, Gulak is still part of the NXT roster, but his status needs to be watched. And just ahead of WrestleMania 40, there are rumors and speculation that a big-name free agent could be in the house, that being none other than former Stardom star Julia, who was previously reported to have been traveling to the United States ahead of WrestleMania 40. Julia finished up with Stardom at the end of March and has already made moves as a free agent, recently making her Pro Wrestling NOAH debut ahead of a confirmed match on May 4th. While nothing has been confirmed regarding Julia's status yet, reports of her impending arrival have been circulating for several months. The belief has been that she would continue to work in Japan for Rossi Ogawa's new promotion for a little while before officially moving to the U.S. to join WWE. Now, for those who don't know, Rossi Ogawa started Stardom before Bushiroad, which owns New Japan, bought Stardom. Rossi Ogawa ended up leaving back when Vince McMahon had all the stuff come out about his sexual assault. So I want to say that was in February. So Rossi Ogawa left, started his own new promotion. Julia was one of the people he took with him. Stardom is the company that produced Asuka, Io Sky, and the other girl in Damage Control. Sorry, I'm forgetting, coming off the top of my head right now. But all of the Japanese female stars have been part of Stardom. There's also rumors that Agawa's new promotion could strike up a working partnership similar to what AEW has with New Japan, where his new promotion will supply wrestlers to WWE, and WWE would reciprocate sending wrestlers over there to work in his promotion. So it's something to watch, something interesting. Like I said earlier, there could be a superstar that could be interfering in Bayley's match. It could be Julia. We just have to wait and see. And that's going to do it for this week's wrestling news and notes. Here's to a fantastic WrestleMania.
Absolutely. Man, that was the fastest hour of talking wrestling that we've ever gone through. I'm excited. If you didn't get a chance to as well, a lot of wrestlers came through the Pat McAfee show on Friday. Go watch the YouTube replay. Paul, Triple H Levesque, again, made some comments about something we'll discuss further in regards to the work schedule and the potential perceived notion that he lost Ospreay and Okada and Mercedes Moné. Basically, Triple H said that, hey, if you're young and you don't want to grind in the WWE system, then I'm glad I didn't choose you. And oh boy, check it out. Pat McAfee also dipped his toe in the feud, dissing the AEW brand, saying that, hey, why would you want to work in front of a place with only 600 people watching? So WWE is on full attack, and we'll talk more about what that means moving forward as AEW responds, because it is kind of weird that on their biggest weekend, WWE was talking a lot about AEW. Why? Do they just want to kick someone when they're down? Do they feel like there's real competition? Do they feel like they know that maybe they're pissed off that Drew McIntyre and Becky are probably going, you know, we got this offer here from Tony, and Triple H is like, God damn it. I got to pay another $15 million a year for both of these guys. And I bet you he's probably pissed that there's competition, knowing that when there's competition, it just means that he's got to pay a lot more for the people he wants to retain. Because WrestleMania is going to be a fun two-night experience, I'm just praying I'm going to last through it. Because I've been getting to bed about 10 o'clock most nights. This, I'm hoping, start time is 8 o'clock, right, with the two-hour pre-show? Or is it 7? What time's the start time? I got to get my
So there's a whole lot going on. It starts at 7.
Good. Thank
you. You have Stand and Deliver taking place. I believe Stand and Deliver starts at noon.
Yep.
5 o'clock starts your pre-show. Seven o'clock starts the main card.
Perfect. And I hope they go till 10:30 both nights, because, oh my God, it could go 4 hours. Oh my goodness. WrestleMania.
Won't be as long as an AEW pay-per-view. Don't worry.
You're right.
16 hours later.
Triple H said the main goal is, again, holy shit, he wants it to be the biggest thing of all time. And let's hope it delivers. I think it will. And next week, we'll come back and recap it all. Two nights of WrestleMania. Make sure you follow Adam on Twitter at AdamRSTROZ. Follow the network at Detroit Podcast. I'm sure we'll be tweeting some highlights of the biggest moments of WrestleMania 40. For the jock, Adam Straczynski, I am the doc, John Macaroon. I can't wait to watch WrestleMania this weekend and to come back next week and recap it on another great episode of the Doc and Jock Wrestling Podcast.